Peace be with you. Well, of course, peace is with me. I'm the Prince of Peace. It's good to be here with you this morning. I've been wanting to come spend some time with you for a long time. You know, it's one thing to be with you in spirit. It's another thing to be with you in the flesh, if you know what I mean. Easter is my favorite time of the year. I love all the great songs, especially that one you sang last week about how I've risen today and all the alleluias. Although I did notice that some of you weren't singing. So just know that I see those things. Oh, and if you don't mind, I borrowed a robe from your closet downstairs. Pastor John had exactly the same outfit as me, and I thought this would help recognize me. But the Skechers, I had to keep those on. They're just comfortable. Anyway, around this time of year, I get to reminiscing a little bit, because those few weeks after I walked out of that empty tomb and before I went back to my Father were one of the best times in my life. You see, I came into this world to bring joy. But it seemed like wherever I went, I just made people nervous or angry. Even my best friends, it seemed like an eternity before they finally figured it all out. And believe me, I would know. But those few weeks, everywhere I went, there was joy. Some surprise and confusion and fear at first, but then pure joy. I still cherish that first moment with Mary in the garden outside of the tomb. She loved me so much. And so it just warms my heart to think of her face on that day when she saw me for the first time. You know, she and the other women were the only ones who were willing to risk identifying themselves with me and come to the tomb at all that morning. But when they saw that angel in the tomb the first time, boy, they ran out of there so fast. They were so confused and afraid, they didn't know what to do. But Mary, she came back. She came back to the empty tomb. And she waited outside of it just weeping. And when she looked into that tomb and saw those two angels, I didn't know what she was going to do. She was at the end of her rope, grief and exhaustion. She had nothing left. And so she snapped back at those angels, didn't she? All they asked was why she was weeping. And she snapped back at them that they've taken away her Lord's body and she didn't know what they had done with it. I almost laughed out loud as I watched her. Of course, she didn't recognize they were angels. You people hardly ever recognize when there are angels around you. When she turned away from the angels and looked at me, her face was red with frustration. But it just couldn't mask the tiredness and sadness that I could see in her eyes. And as she looked into my face, my heart broke for her. "Why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" I asked her. And she was so sweet, she thought I was just the gardener. And she said, "Well, do you know where his body is?" Well, of course I did, but I didn't tell her that yet. And then she said, "Well, I'll take care of it." And I don't know what she was planning, trying to carry my body all by herself. So I just pronounced very quietly one word. And in that one word, I tried to pack in all of the love that I felt for her. I said, "Mary." Oh, the look on her face was priceless. You should have seen all of the thoughts flashing through her mind in that moment, wondering how this gardener knew her name, and then recognizing the voice and trying to place it. And then she just looked at me with a look of joy, speechless joy. All she could do was whisper, "Rabbi, my teacher." And then she lunged at my feet and grabbed onto me as if she had to hold me down to the earth or I would just somehow float away like a dream that she was awakening from. And I looked down at her. I said, "Mary, you don't have to hold on to me. I'm not going back to my Father yet." And when she was finally convinced, she stood up and I decided I would let her be the one to share the news with the rest of my disciples. As I watched her run away, her feet barely touched the ground as she was wanting to share this good news. But I shook my head because I knew that they would have to see it to believe it. And I smiled because I wanted to see them too. You should have seen their faces later that night as I walked through that locked door into the room and said, "Peace be with you." But one of them wasn't there. His name was Thomas. And Thomas was kind of a guy's guy. He didn't really like to show his emotions. I don't think he was there that night because he just wanted to figure things out by himself, to just deal with it on his own. And after I left, the other disciples tried everything they could to convince him that I was alive. But Thomas, he wanted all the facts, and he calculated everything in his mind. And once he had come to a conclusion, there was no convincing him otherwise. He reminded me of another guy I used to know named Job. Both of these guys, they would listen to their friends all they wanted, but they weren't going to settle for rumors or theories. They wanted me. And they weren't going to settle for anything less. And I love that about them. By the time I came back, the other disciples were practically pulling their hair out trying to get him to believe that I was alive. And so I made sure that the next time I came to see them, Thomas was there. And when I walked right through that locked door again, just like the disciples had told him, oh, you should have seen his face. Pale like a ghost. And after I greeted them, I turned to Thomas and I said very matter-of-factly, ask and you shall receive. And I said, Thomas, look at my hands. And I offered him my side. And he didn't even take a moment to recalculate. He just dropped to his knees and exclaimed, my Lord and my God. It was the most genuine moment of that young man's life. You see, I hadn't told him to bow down and worship me. I don't ever really tell anyone to bow down and worship me. It's just what happens when people encounter the glory of God. My Lord and my God. Like walking out of a movie theater into daylight and being overcome by the sun shining in your eyes. In that moment, I could see right into his heart. And I knew that he would follow me to the ends of the earth. And he did. He spent the rest of his life trying to convince other people who had never seen me to experience the blessing of believing. Then there was Peter. Peter. What can you say? He was a rock, all right. Sometimes as dependable as a rock, sometimes about as bright as a rock. But Peter loved me very much. And it broke my heart so much that night when I was arrested in the temple court. And I watched him as he lied 3 times about even knowing me. But I wasn't sad for me. I was sad for him. Because when I looked into his face and he caught my glance, I could see the fear and the confusion that had overcome him. I could see how painful these next few days were going to be for him. And I could see him as he ran away and just sobbed. And my heart went out to him. That day, a few days later, at the Sea of Tiberias, as I watched the disciples on their boat trying to catch fish, and for fishermen, they never seemed to be catching many fish for whatever reason, but I watched them, and he was the one that I was thinking of. And I watched their faces light up as they threw the net to the other side of the boat, like I told them, and the fish started to pile in. And as I looked out, I could see John mouth these words to him and tell him that it was me who was waiting on the beach. And then his face, as he jumped off the boat and started flailing around in the water, he kind of sank like a rock too. By the time he finally got to me, he was so happy. And we sat there and ate breakfast. But as I watched him, as I looked at his face as he was eating breakfast, I could see behind his eyes a sadness and a shame. I could see those 3 denials in the temple court still weighing on him. Now, Peter was going to be my leader. He was going to be the shepherd for my sheep. He was going to be the rock on which I built this movement and this people of new creations. But as long as he had that shame and that sadness, he was never going to be able to be my leader or my shepherd or my rock. We needed to talk. And so after our fish breakfast, don't mock it unless you've tried it. Fish is great for breakfast. After our fish breakfast, I took him aside. And when we were out of earshot of the rest of the disciples, I said to him, Simon, do you love me? And his eyes searched the dust beneath our feet, and he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. I said, then feed my lambs. And he kind of shot a curious glance at me, and we kept walking. And after we'd gone a few more steps, I said again, "Simon, do you love me?" And this time he looked up at me and said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." I said, "Then shepherd my sheep." And one more time, even more quietly, I said to him, "Simon, do you love me?" And this time he looked right into my eyes, and I could see the fire building behind them. And I heard the fire in his voice again as he said, "Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Of course I knew he loved me. But in that moment, he believed it too. And even as I told him the lengths to which he would have to go to follow me, and if he really loved me, and the things that he would have to sacrifice, he never let my gaze go. He looked right into my face. And when I told him, "Follow me," we both knew that he would. The looks on their faces are still so vivid to me as I think of them. And what stands out to me is what they all had in common. Joy, yes. Love, yes. Faith, yes. But also surprise. A shocked look that turned into joy. And that's what I think about when I think about those few weeks. Those looks of surprise that morphed into joy. You see, when Mary came back to that tomb, she was expecting to weep there, not embrace the feet of her risen rabbi. And when Thomas went into that room that night, he had already written me off and was ready to move on, not worship his risen king. And Peter, he was ready to write himself off, not be called to be the shepherd of God's people. The surprise on their face made it all worth it. What about you? What would be the look on your face if I came to you in the most unexpected of times? What would you do if I said your name or answered your doubts or told you to forget about all the sins of your past and focus on the amazing future that I wanted to bring you into? Let me surprise you. Look for me in your grief and your doubt and your shame. Look for me in those moments where you least expect me to be there. Open your eyes so you can see where I'm moving in your life and what I'm doing in the community around you. Open your ears so you can hear me when I speak your name or when I'm calling you to make disciples. You cannot imagine the amazing things that I have in store for you. And I can't wait to see the look on your face.